So I want to back up just a tad and kind of recap what we've talked about in the past few weeks. If you recall, we talked about the kingdom of God, and I'm going to actually probably follow up next week, maybe, depends, on the kingdom of God again and when it will actually occur. And then we kind of swerved into talking about the rapture, a very important event you don't want to miss, definitely don't want to miss. Tell all your friends, tell everybody you need to let them know. And then we talked about the Antichrist. The rapture, in my view, not everybody believes the same, and that's okay. It's not a matter of salvation. My view is that the rapture will occur first, before the 7-year tribulation period. And there is coming a 7-year tribulation period. Would you believe that some people think we're already there? The doctrine that some people have believe that we are already in tribulation. The thing is, I don't know how far they think we are in, but we do know, at least in Daniel and in Revelation, it talks about how the Antichrist, that man of sin, lawlessness, son of perdition, goes by many names, will reveal himself about the 3.5-year mark. And that's when it gets awful for planet Earth. Stars literally will be falling out of heaven. Who knows? Planets may actually go out of their orbit. I don't know. I don't know what kind, but it's going to be tremendous. It's going to be something we do not want to be there to witness. But the Antichrist is the culmination of the evil that Satan wants to inflict on this world. And so God has appointed, in fact, we talked about that in Bible study, he has appointed a time and a period. Notice how God's always in control. But he has appointed a time and a period for this man of sin, the son of perdition, to set himself up. One final, well, actually not the final time, but at least for those of us here currently, he's going to try to set himself up as the Messiah. He's going to somehow unify the planet. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't want to know how that's going to work because, again, I don't want to be here. But then there are other people who believe in what's referred to as a post-tribulation, after-tribulation rapture. Why do they believe that? Because they say the second coming of Jesus Christ is a one-time event. It's not in two phases. A one-time event. At the end of tribulation, Christ will return, is their belief. Paul said that we are not appointed unto wrath. I don't think the bride of Christ is going to go through the outpouring of God's wrath. It would kind of make sense not to, right? I mean, what person gets engaged and abuses their fiance just so that they could marry them and relieve all their suffering? I don't believe that. But others believe in what's called a mid-tribulation rapture, that when Antichrist finally sets himself up as God, as the Messiah, in the middle of the tribulation period, that's when God will rapture us out. Again, people believe different views, but I lean toward the pre-tribulation rapture. Why? Because the scripture teaches that there's a he. And maybe I didn't quite clearly identify that he, but scripture says, "He that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." It's interesting, King James language, but that phrase means to hinder. So if I were to reword it, it would say, "He that hinders will continue to hinder until he's taken out of the way." So think about it. Who is the he that's hindering this man of lawlessness, this man of sin, the son of perdition? Who's hindering him right now? It's the Holy Spirit, I believe. Some people believe other things, but I believe it's the Holy Spirit. And when he's taken out of the way, what's that going to happen with us? We have to go with him, don't we? I hope. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Why would God give his Holy Spirit just to take it away? I don't believe that. That's why I believe that there's a pre-tribulation rapture, and then that will be the trigger, the start for the 7 years that's coming. All right. In the middle of that seven, and by the way, I do believe Antichrist is probably born already. He's probably alive. Who knows how old he is? But the fact is, there's this one person that's going to unify all of the governments of the world. And again, it baffles my mind. How can you have peace between the people of Islam and the people of the Jews and the people of the Christians? You realize much of us are enemies just based on our religion. We believe in Christ. Well, we're considered an infidel. Even the Jews, many of them consider us as Gentiles. But the fact is, how is somebody going to unify that diverse group? It's going to happen, but I don't know. So I believe that unification is going to occur early on. That's my belief. But what I think is going to happen is at the middle of that tribulation period, the middle of the 7 years, suddenly this person's going to turn on us. The planet. I mean, he's going to turn on the planet and basically convince everybody that he's God. He's going to put himself in the temple and he's going to say, worship me or else. So that was what we talked about last week. But probably that draws the most attention or the intrigue, the fascination, is this mark that's going to occur. If there's anything that even unsaved people will talk about sometimes, is this mark. Most people, if not all people, have heard about it. So we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the mark of the beast. And we're going to start in Revelation 13 and 11. So John is on the island of Patmos. He's been exiled. He's basically was sent to this, it wasn't completely deserted, but it was a very remote island, so he could die. He could waste out his years there. But he had one of the most tremendous vision, and somehow, I assume he got off the island because we have the book of Revelation in our hands. We have his vision. So in chapter 13, verse 11, this is John. He said, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." And before this set of scriptures talked about a beast coming up out of the sea. This one came up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. Well, it shouldn't take much imagery to understand who the dragon is. The dragon is Satan himself. He's often referred to as the dragon. But notice the phrasing here. So he comes up out of the earth, and it says, and he had two horns like a lamb. In other words, he's going to look peaceful. He's going to look good. He's going to look nice. And he's going to look to where he's it's going to be deceiving. Because this is, you do know, Christ himself was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You remember that? Well, look at this. Already we have this other beast, this second beast. And by the way, that beast, it comes from, a lot of it comes from what Daniel saw. If you recall, he saw different types of animals. I think in one place it was a leopard, a bear. But then all of a sudden there was this beast that he didn't recognize that was the most ferocious of them all. And I believe that's who this is, that beast that Daniel spake of. Maybe not, but I believe it is. But anyway, this beast, the second beast, comes up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. It means he's going to look one way, and he's going to talk another way. And it might be real confusing to a lot of people, but the fact is he's going to deceive. So let's go to verse 12. And this second beast now says, and he exercises all the power, meaning the authority. This particular word means authority, of the first beast. Who's the first beast? The first beast is the Antichrist. He's going to get a partner. This partner is going to have all of the power, all the authority of the first beast. Think about back when Joseph. Remember when Pharaoh elevated Joseph? To where basically the Pharaoh had turned over the full control. Get this, full control of Egypt, he turned it over to Joseph. Joseph had as much power as Pharaoh himself. If you didn't obey Joseph, it could be a bad thing because he had every bit as much power as Pharaoh. Same thing here. You notice how Satan copycats everything God does? That's what he does. And that's how he's going to fool people. He's going to copycat God. He's going to provide a partner to the first beast, the Antichrist, and he's going to give him the same amount of authority. So what's this second beast going to do? And he causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. You'll have to go back and read a little bit of that. But there is, so the first beast, he actually gets wounded. Maybe an assassination attempt. I don't know. Who knows? But he's going to get wounded. And he's going to be healed from that wound. And now he's going to set himself up as God. And this character is going to cause people to worship the first one. That's when he sets himself up as the Messiah. How's he going to do it? It says here in verse 13. Next verse, please. And by the way, when you're reading King James, it can be helpful if you just simply take the TH and sometimes change it to an S. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Does that remind you of anybody back in the Old Testament? How about Elijah? Elijah had made a challenge to Ahab, and he challenged the 450, if I have that number correctly, prophets of Baal, pagan prophets of Baal, and an additional 400 prophets of the grove. That's still pagan, but they're not the same. 950 prophets against one little Elijah. And Elijah challenged them and he said, look, let's set up an altar and let's set up an offering. And whoever, whose God answers by fire, he's God. And you know the story. The fact is the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, 950 total, were out there and they were doing all kinds of commotions and everything and their prayers and their screaming and yelling. And it wasn't doing any good. Nothing was happening. And of course, Elijah, I love the story because Elijah was like, maybe he's going to sleep. Maybe he's on vacation. You know, hey, cry louder. And they were even cutting themselves. Okay, they're cutting themselves to get their God's attention. See how that works? That's what they were doing. Well, and then Elijah, when it came his turn, what did he do? He had them take all kinds of water. By the way, they were in a drought. And they took all kinds of water and they poured it all over Elijah's offering. And they just poured it. They kept pouring it. I think they did it three times. So, well, water was running out the little trenches that he had made. And then all of a sudden he just prayed to the Lord and poof, consumed it all with fire, and it even licked up the little bit of water that was left. Just totally, totally gone. And then, of course, all those prophets got killed. But notice what's happening here. Satan is imitating God. That's how he's going to fool so many people. So this second beast, this character is now doing great wonders, miracles perhaps, so that he causes fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, meaning the first, the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, the Antichrist, which had the wound by a sword and did live. So this guy is going to do miracles. He's going to do signs and wonders, and he's going to fool so many people. He's going to convince them that he has the power of the first beast, who then says he's God. He is to be worshipped as God. He's going to set himself up as God, and he's going to have this second guy to convince people of that. And it's going to work. But who does this remind you of? Remember, the devil is the biggest copycat of God of all time. This reminds me of Daniel. If you go back, I think I wrote it down, Daniel chapter 3. If you go back and read that story, Nebuchadnezzar had set up this huge image, very, very tall, and commanded all of the people that at the sound of all of the music, I can't list all the musical instruments, but at the sound of all the music, what were they to do? Bow down and worship the image. Copycat. Satan is such a copycat. But then you know, three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse. In fact, they even refuse because the king gave them a second chance. He said, look, if you bow down, I'll let you slide on this one, but you bow down at the next go round, he said, you'll be okay. And they said, you know, we don't even have to think about it. We're not going to do it. And that's when they got thrown in the fire. Same thing here. So this second beast, by the way, is going to do all kinds of wonders, miracles in the sight of people, and he's going to cause people to dwell on the earth and that they should make this image and worship and worship. It's amazing how all of that. But the fact is, verse 15 tells us, now look, this is probably one of the most important parts of this whole section here. And he had power. Who's he? He is the second beast, the one doing all these wonders. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. You realize what's going on here is he's setting up two situations. There's only two. You either worship the beast or you're going to be killed. There's no other option. Two options. And the fact is, so much emphasis is going to put on worshiping this Antichrist. What does anti mean? Against, opposite, instead of. Goes by all of those. He's going to set himself up as instead of Christ, but he's going to convince people that he is Christ. And he's going to use this, and by the way, this is the false prophet, if you hadn't figured it out yet. This is that false prophet that's going to convince all kinds of people on the earth. Hopefully we're not there. Again, I don't subscribe to the mid-tribulation rapture. I subscribe to the pre-tribulation rapture. But in the event someone is there who has knowledge of what's going on, maybe has read these Bible scriptures, they will understand that the fact is that there's going to be this emphasis to worship not only the Antichrist himself, but the image. And so this image is somehow going to speak. I was actually going to put a little video up here to show you as to part of the technology that could be used to fool people. But anyway, I felt like I didn't I didn't want to detract from the message that way. But notice, so that this image, it didn't say the false prophet, it said that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many. So this image, somehow this image is going to declare people to be killed. Whatever power that Satan uses through this false prophet to give this image the ability to speak and to cause people who do not worship the beast, that tells me there's going to be some resistance. Think about that. There's going to be some resistance. There's going to be some Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here. Now, how do I know? Because it says if they don't worship, guess what? They're going to be killed. I don't know if it's going to be thrown into a fire or what, because Satan is such a copycat. But the fact is, they're going to be killed. So verse 16 says this. And here we go. We're getting to the meat of the problem here. He says, and he causes all, not a few, not some, all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, that's everybody, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. I was actually researching that word, mark. I don't understand Greek. I can only look at Greek dictionaries and get an idea, a partial understanding of what the word means. But it literally means like a scratching. You know, it's where you carve, maybe into your skin, or even an etching, or a kind of a stamp. What does that remind you of? A tattoo. It very well could be some kind of a tattoo. Remember when the Jews were pulled into the concentration camps? I don't know which arm. I think it was on the left arm, but they were given a number. The Holocaust victims were given a number. They were tattooed on there. It's not easy to get rid of a tattoo, so that's one of the ways. But tattoos, what are they? First of all, it's often described as a badge of servitude. What's servitude? It's like being a slave. So if you receive this mark, whoever is alive at that point in time, whoever receives this mark will be a slave to the system. And in our Bible study, most of you already know this in our Bible study, but we talked about the beast system. The beast system is not just one thing, folks. The beast system is a collection of all things that we have to interact with. It's culture. Look at our culture, how it's declining so rapidly. Not only is crime so high in America now, but I mean, it's just being running rampant without any checks and balances. There's crime everywhere. There's all this, I don't even know the letters, LGBTQ plus nonsense. There's all of that. What are they trying to do? They're trying to confuse people about their gender. First of all, if you would have told me this 10, 20 years ago, I would have thought you were crazy. And now we have people who can't even determine whether they're a guy or girl. It's crazy. And on top of that, and I showed them in the Wednesday night Bible study, a video where a woman, a mother, was upset at a veterinarian because her child identified as a cat. You might think this is fun, a parody. It's not. I swear it's true. He identified as a cat, and she wanted to take him to the doctor, but a veterinarian. Now, you're the veterinarian. In walks this kid. And mom says, hey, he's got a problem. Can you check him out? You're like, am I on candid camera? You know, you're looking around for the hidden cameras, right? No, she was serious. She was deadly serious. And the fact was, she was posting this video because she was so mad at the doctor. And she, by the way, she was so nice because she said, I'm not going to sue. Really? You're not going to sue? Thank goodness. because she felt like, so what did the doctor say? And I don't know, I would have probably told her she was crazy. But the fact is, he said, well, ma'am, he has a human anatomy, and I'm not qualified to treat human anatomy. Notice the word human, not a cat. And she said, I'm not going to sue, but I wanted to raise this issue to people because we need to have conversations about this. No, we don't. Absolutely, we do not. Anywho, if you want to know who's going to be deceived in the 7 years, there you go. You got a whole group of people right there who think they can identify as somebody else than what God established already at their birth, and now they've gone so far as they can identify as animals. But these tattoos, these marks, what are they going to, you know, first of all, I didn't bring it up, and this is not a message against tattoos, but in Leviticus 19:28, you realize God forbids tattoos? He forbids it. Now, let me put everybody at ease. The reason it was forbidden back then is because it marked you as belonging to a particular sect in the pagan worships. I doubt anybody here would get a tattoo to identify as a pagan. I doubt that very much. Unless you are of that, what is that, motorcycle gang, the pagans? Okay, that might be something different. But anybody who gets a tattoo, I don't think identifies as a pagan. But the fact is, God forbid that. Why? Because they did. They marked themselves. If you look and see that even gangs, what is it, that one you hear, MS-13, they actually tattoo them, especially on the foreheads. Notice that? Tattoo them on the foreheads in different places to mark them as permanently in the gang. That's the point of the tattoo. God was actually outraged by any disfiguration of the body. If you go back and read Leviticus 19 and 28, he talks about cutting yourself, mourning for the dead. I don't understand that one really, but we do have problems, by the way, for people who have disorders that cut themselves. And by the way, I'm not making fun of any of that. I think anybody who does cut themselves, if they hear this on Facebook Live or whatever, I'm not making fun. I think you need help. I think God needs to touch your life, and He needs to help you. And I would urge anybody who does that to seek out some kind, you know, a preacher or somebody they can trust who understands the Bible and understands that God can reach even the deepest of hurts, and He can relieve you of all of that. But the fact is that tattoos marked you as belonging to a pagan cult, and that's why God was so outraged. So if we move to verse 17. So now, the mark is already brought up. So why? Why a mark? So, and that no man, actually no human, it means human, no man or no human might buy or sell, save that he had the mark. Now notice the phrases here. There's a connector word here that we often forget. We often talk about and emphasize the mark, right? We do. But what's it say? It says that save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Wow. The whole purpose of this mark in the 7 years that's going to occur, I believe, soon, and I'll explain that a little bit, is so that no one will buy or sell. That's an economic plan, don't you think? It's an economic plan. So I want to bring up to you, and again, many of you in our Wednesday night Bible study, we've already talked about this at length, is that during that period, when not only is it going to come up to worship the Antichrist, and to worship the image, but now they're going to own you by putting a mark either in your hand or in your forehead. And some people have questioned, well, why the forehead? Well, not everybody has arms. I don't know. But the fact is, and whether it's a physical mark, I don't know. It could be. But the whole purpose is to buy or sell. What you may or may not already know is that our world, not country, our world is moving rapidly to what's referred to as a central bank digital currency. You're going to hear that phrase. I think you're going to hear it much more frequent. It's called the CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. You need to be looking that up and researching it right now. What's that all about? Well, it all actually started, believe it or not, back in, I guess, mid-1970s, when President Nixon took the U.S. off of the gold standard. So now we don't have gold backing up our dollar. I want you to listen close, folks. We don't have gold backing up our dollar. So you might wonder, well, how do we know a dollar or a $10 bill actually is worth $10 or a dollar even? Well, it's worth it because we say so. You see how that works? You don't have anything backing it up. It works because the bank says so. You have a dollar in your account, it's because we say so. We don't have enough gold in our reserves to even talk about whether or not we have enough money to physically, with gold, to back up that money. It's worth it because we say so. Well, how many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you have one of those debit cards that has a chip in it? I do. I have several. It's my debit card. We have two bank accounts so that we can better budget our money. But we have two bank accounts and they each have a debit card or a chip. I didn't realize how little I handle cash anymore. Rarely do I spend cash. I use my card for almost everything. And now it's actually gotten more sophisticated to where you can just now tap it. You can just tap it. And it pays for things. But the fact is, there's going to be this central bank digital currency. Think about it. Does anybody here have automatic deposit? I don't get a check anymore from work. I don't get a check. It just goes to the bank. Very convenient, isn't it? I don't have to go cash a check anymore. I don't have to fill out that annoying deposit slip. I don't have to do all that anymore. It's all digital. You see how they're leading up to this? See, the beast system doesn't just suddenly appear like the rapture happens today and all of a sudden the beast system is in place. No, the beast system is here. I'm warning everybody, it's already here. And you might be saying, well, why are we not in the tribulation yet? Because it hasn't gotten to that point yet. The beast system, the tear down of the family, the control of education, the governments are all moving to a one world government. Oh, they use terms like New World Order. I know a lot of you may have heard all this for years and years, but it's coming. It's coming. The World Economic Forum, what are they all about? They're all about putting in place this one world government, especially the monetary system, especially whether or not you can buy or sell. The World Economic Forum is working to create a digital currency. Now, what can they do with digital currency? When I went to Sweden, back in April, when I went to Sweden, I actually got there. Actually, we flew into Denmark, Copenhagen. We flew in there, and I went to use my debit card to buy just a snack, a drink. I had spent a long flight and hadn't eaten much. Well, my card wouldn't work. I'm like, what's going on? I know I got money. Well, it turns out my bank has this nice little feature. By the way, it's always called a feature. Had a nice little feature that when I'm a certain distance away from my home, my card fails to work. I just simply had to go into my little app, by the way. I had it on my phone. I went into my little app and I said, oh, I'm in Copenhagen, so let me just mark that that's where I am. And I did. And I went over and within seconds, I was able to buy my snack and happy-go-lucky go on my way. See how that works? With a central bank digital currency, they can control how far you travel. Why do you think they're talking about all these 15-minute cities? That's a discussion for another time. I know, I keep doing that. But the fact is, they're creating these 15-minute cities so that they can limit your travel. And if you go beyond that travel, guess what? You might not get to use your central bank digital currency card. Now, right now, it's a card. Eventually, it'll be a mark. You see where this is heading, right? They're getting us used to a card. They're getting us used to, it's on the pole there, a phone app. Dorinda, you too, all of us. How many of us pay for groceries on our phone app that's linked to our card? I don't use cash anymore. Sweden, by the way, is one of the first countries who are going, if they're not completely there now, a cashless society. Completely cashless. Even a parking meter. Get this, in Sweden, when I went there, I actually had a car. When I went to park somewhere, they all had slides. You slide your card at a parking meter. And they had cameras that if you didn't, it would find you and fine you, find and fine a penalty for not paying your parking bill. That's how they track you. But the fact is, this mark is for the sole purpose of being able to buy or sell. Now, I actually wrote some things down here. I want to go ahead and bring up this next image. You recognize this? I can remember when the barcode on the right came out. I can remember when that came out, and people thought already we were in the end times. Just because of that barcode. I even remember watching a church video, this was years ago when I was young, about that was part of the tribulation period. Well, now we have these QR codes, those very funny looking square. In fact, if you're interested in things, almost everything now has a QR code. You can just take your phone, take a snap picture of it, it'll redirect you to a website. That's how it works. Very convenient. By the way, all this is sold On convenience. Again, don't raise your hand, but how many people in here use your phone to unlock it by your thumbprint? Or, maybe not your thumb, but especially iPhones, and I'm assuming the newer Samsungs can do it, you do it by facial recognition. Again, I don't want to know who's doing that. What's that training us to do? It's all digital. That's called biometrics, by the way. Biometrics is where they're going to use this system. This beast system is going to rely on biometrics such as your thumbprint, your retina scan, your eyes when you look into something, or your facial recognition, which, by the way, is very, very accurate. I use the app on my phone called Google Photos. Does anybody else use that? I use it. And one of the features I like about it is that, let's say I want to find all the pictures in my drive, in my photos, of maybe just Dorinda or maybe just Allison, okay? Guess what? It'll find every picture of just her, even all the way down to being a baby. How is that possible? Facial recognition. There's certain facial structures I've done it. In fact, I laugh because we have a picture of Allison when she was very young, I think 1 year old, and I have a picture of Aaron when she was 1 year old, and they look so similar. And so when I did a facial search on just those two, it kept bringing up this one picture thinking they were the same. Y'all looked very much alike. And actually, you have the ability to go in and click on a button and tell it whether or not this is the same person or not. And a couple of times I have to tell Google, no, that's not the right person. But boy, it has found... So let's say Deronda is in a picture of a group, not just by herself, but in a group. It'll find it. That's how accurate it is. And even more accurate, it finds pictures of just the side of her face. How is that possible? I joke about it sometimes, but I'm kind of half joking. I think Google is part of the beast system. And when I say system, it's the technology put in place to track and to surveil everybody. Google is one of the biggest collectors of data. And it's a lot of times, and Facebook too, a lot of times we just give it to them. Here, take our data and use it. Anyway, biometrics. Our mobile phones can capture our faces. Guess what? You may not know this, but it happens all the time. And I don't know if it happens on all of the apps, but many of the apps that you have on your phone, while you're looking at your phone, that camera is working. And I don't mean taking a picture of, I don't mean you taking a picture of something, but your camera is constantly checking your eyes, checking your face, and they look and determine your mood. Are you smiling? Are you happy? Are you laughing? Are you crying? And then it figures out what you're looking at. Folks, it's here. This is not something that's coming. It's here. The beast system is here. And I'm trying to warn everybody. Your phone, the thing that we can't walk away from at home, we have to turn around and go back to get our phone, is a type of mark. Think about it. I'm not trying to be embellishment here, but the fact is we're being trained little by little to be able to be integrated into the beast system. And we're very fast doing it. We're very fast doing it. We're being trained to use our mobile phones for everything now. In fact, I bought this iPad tablet a long time ago, 3-4 years ago. I actually wanted to use it for preaching. I hardly ever use this anymore. I use my phone for everything. Oh, I watch TV on my phone. The Pluto app, the Pluto channel. I do almost everything. All my interaction and stuff. How much do we text? How much do we use Facebook Messenger? You see where I'm going with this. Well, anyway, paying for things. Sweden, I already mentioned, has moved a lot closer to a cashless society, and they may be completely there now, but they're also the catalyst for other countries in Europe especially to do the same. Move into a cashless society. That means you will no longer be able to physically carry coins or paper money. Everything will be done by some kind of a device, whether it be a card, whether it be your phone, or some kind of a device. Think about it. They wanted to put your vaccine passport. Remember that? During COVID, they wanted to create a vaccine passport so that they could determine whether or not you could go certain places. You would what? Scan your little card to whether you could go into a grocery store. Did you have your vaccine or no? They were pushing it, and it's still coming, by the way. But QR codes. Have you actually bought anything recently that doesn't use a QR code of any type? Every store that I can think of that I go to now actually scans everything. Everything. And I thought to myself, well, wow, this is amazing, because what, maybe 10 years ago, this wasn't as prevalent as it is now. And now we've become employees of Walmart. You realize that? We have our self-checkout. We have our self-checkout counters. So if you want to, you could actually take a break in their break room. Not really. They may run you out. But the fact is, you are now an employee every time you use that self-checkout. Well, I can't help it. I usually don't buy so much, and typically it's faster for me to do that, and it's convenient. So, yeah, I go ahead and do it. But it is a problem. I like speaking to people. I like saying hello and interact. That's what they're taking away from us, this interaction. Now it's all going to be through, like right now, when you go to the Walmart and you scan all your stuff, you either drag it across the little window and scanner, or you take the little handheld device and you're scanning everything. Eventually, they're going to look for your facial recognition, your retina scan, or something. It's all leading up to the mark. So anyway, that's a big deal. But how about paying for things? And I'm getting ready to wrap up here. You pay for things. Now, I pay through the phone app a lot of times. And a lot of these phones now actually have, it's called basically a wallet in Apple. It's called the Apple Wallet. And I have my debit cards in there. And if I need to buy something, I'm like, you know, click on it, tap, tap, and put in my code, and I'm done. Very convenient, right? It's all going to be sold based on convenience, at least for now. But what about all these chips that people have? Do you know if you buy a registered dog that they chip them? Aaron has two golden retrievers that we paid for. They're both chipped. Why? Because if they ever got lost, and maybe somebody takes them to a vet, the vet can scan it, and oh, it belongs to Aaron, that's her dog. You know, convenient, right? Safe, right? They want to chip your children. It's all for the good. Why? Because if your child ever gets kidnapped, they'll be able to locate it way, way quicker. Oh, and everybody's going to line up and do that right now. I don't want my child to be lost. They're going to start chipping them. Now, you might say, well, is that the mark? No, I don't think so. I think it's coming. But it's all leading to it. It's all leading to it. It's getting us used to that. Sweden, and we talked this in Bible study, Sweden actually has what's referred to as chip parties. What is that? A chip party is where, and the video I showed everybody was a dad and his daughter went to this big chip party. There were hundreds of people there to get a chip implanted in the fat of their hand. And the father and daughter did it at the same time. We were so smiling. They were happy. They're like, everybody's going to be getting these. That's what he said. Everybody's going to be getting these. Well, look at this next image. How are you going to pay for things? WalletMore has this payment implant. So you get this chip, and guess what? You know that little machine where you just take your card and you tap it? Now you just put your hand nearby. The beast system is here. All it takes is for somebody to finally activate it for sure. So let me move on to the last scripture, and we're going to close. So Revelation 13:18 said, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66. A score is 20. So 3 scores, 3 20s is 60. 666, 666. I didn't bring it because I knew I'd be likely going overtime, but so many logos, the Google logo, if somebody wants to go search it search it on Google. Look for the Google logo, and you'll see it has 3 colors, and they're all in the shape of a 6. Take a look. I think in Disney, there was something down there. I forgot what the attraction was, but they had funny-looking swirls, but if you look at it very close, there's 3 sixes in there at Disney. Why? I mean, why do people put things on there that incorporate 666. I don't understand. I can recall back when Ronald Reagan was thought to be the Antichrist. No, not because he was a Republican, but because his name was Ronald Wilson Reagan. Six letters in each of his names. 666. And they were convinced he was the Antichrist. Well, folks, we can't, probably none of us are going to know who the 666 represents until that man is ready to be revealed. And he won't be ready to revealed, I don't believe, until the rapture occurs. And then I'm not going to care. I'm not going to care. I don't care if I ever know who 666 represents. It's not important to me. What is important to me is I'm preaching this message, and to anybody listening on Facebook Live or maybe even on KindleMinistries.org, that they hear this message and they know that it's here. Not that it's coming, it's here. So now let me give you one last thing to think about. One last thing. If they came out, say, tomorrow and announced on the news that starting in January 1st of 2024, starting in January 1st, that all cash had to be turned into the bank and converted over into your account, and then you would simply use your card from then on. No more cash. That the government of the United States of America decides to get rid of all cash, and they're going to give you so many months, 3 months maybe, to take all of your cash, put it in the bank, convert it into a digital format to where from now on you never handle cash and you can only use your card. What would you do? Would you be able to buy or sell without that card? Not hardly. Unless you go back to in the old days of a barter system, trade a cow for whatever. How are you going to buy gas? How are you going to buy food? How are you going to pay taxes? You know, a lot of people say, well, hey, I'm going to live off the land. They'll find you. They have infrared nowadays. Mike's been in the military. He knows they can find people. Fact is, folks, that's just one step. What if it came a point in time to where they say, you take this mark, or here, or you can't buy or sell, ever. What will they do? That's coming. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a difficult message to preach, and I'm sure it's a difficult message to hear. But God, wake us up. Shake us, Lord, by the shoulders and help us to see what's going on in this world. Lord, we're very close. The beast system is already here. It's just a matter of being fully activated. So God, I just pray that you give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to be ready. Until that day, Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Save us, Lord. Save us. Amen.